Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Saturday, May 27th. In what has become an all too familiar debate, the U.S. government is once again engaged in a standoff over the debt limit. And if no deal is reached, the U.S. could default on its obligations in less than a week. Today, we'll explain the debt ceiling and the impact to you during this drawn-out debate and ultimately if the U.S. does default for the first time in history. Here to break it down is Rachel Snyderman. She's the Senior Associate Director of Business and Economic Policy for the Bipartisan Policy Center, which is a think tank in Washington, D.C. She explains what's at stake for American families, weighs in on how she thinks America's, quote, broken budget process could be fixed, and more. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Rachel, thank you so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So let's start with the basics. Can you first just explain in simple terms, what is the debt ceiling?
Of course. So the debt limit is set by law, and it restricts the total amount of money that the U.S. government is able to legally borrow. And why this matters is because each year we traditionally run deficits. We are spending more than we're bringing in tax revenues. And so to really finance that gap, we need to issue treasury bonds to pay the bills that have come due on time. So it really is a sort of check and balance, if you will, that the Treasury Department is able to issue debt to pay our bills, but they have to go to Congress every once in a while when we've hit up against that limit.
And I always like to clarify again that this isn't saying that we are going to spend more. It's paying the bills that we've already racked up.
That's exactly right. Raising or suspending the debt limit so that we can pay the bills that have come due is really just a reflection of past policies and priorities that administrations of both parties have implemented over the years via increased spending or tax cuts. As a result of those policies, we got to pay the bills. It's not indicative of authorizing any new spending. That's done through the appropriations process, which is a totally separate process that runs on the fiscal year.
Can you give people an idea of what types of debts we're talking about?
We're talking about millions of payments that are going in and out of the government every day, even including how we're issuing tax refunds and collecting those tax revenues, ensuring that Social Security payments get made in full and on time to the millions of beneficiaries who rely on those payments for their livelihoods. This is also ensuring that government contractors who are working with agencies across the federal government to uphold our national security and working with the Department of Defense to build and ensure that our airlines are using the best equipped airplanes, that companies that work with our highway and transportation services across the country are able to show up to work every day and improve our infrastructure. And so at the end of the day, we're talking about payments that touch every American, whether directly or indirectly.
And to that point, what's at stake for average Americans if the U.S. defaults?
It's important to note that if we were in a situation where the Treasury Department found itself on one day, you know, unable to make good on all of its obligations, you know, those impacts would be immediate. You know, those payments such as SNAP benefits, you know, payments to Medicare providers, payments to federal contractors, our military servicemen and women, you know, those payments could get delayed up to a certain amount of time. Treasury investors might be a little bit, you know, skittish of holding U.S. Treasury securities. So we could see interest rates increase, which would then have a ripple effect across, you know, many other consumer areas, such as, you know, the interest rates we see on our credit cards, our car loans, our mortgage payments. You know, we live in a globalized economy, in an increasing globalized world. You know, the U.S. economy is a main player in that. And so, you know, if we're seeing recessionary fears or impacts associated with the default here, this could have ripple effects across global financial markets and the global economy.
What do you think the likelihood of a default coming up is?
I remain optimistic. I have to in this business. But, you know, I have to stop and think that the folks who are in the room right now negotiating have been in this situation before. They know the importance of reaching a deal in time. They know the consequences that are at stake. I think they also realize that there really are no other plan B options. You know, we've seen in the news items of, you know, minting a trillion-dollar coin or invoking the 14th Amendment or some of these kind of last-minute administrative executive powers that could potentially be utilized, but invoking untested administrative procedures to uphold the full faith and credit of our economy and our dollar. I think the global economy would have some pretty, you know, raised eyebrows and big question marks around that. And so I remain optimistic that lawmakers can come together to find a deal, because at the end of the day, that's what their constituents want. They want certainty, and they want to know that they can depend on the government. A lot of that is ensuring that the government programs and services that touch all of our lives are going to be there for them when they need it.
Can you just briefly give us an idea of each side's argument? What are the sticking points here? And what would your advice to lawmakers be at this point?
Democrats wanted a clean debt limit increase, and Republicans wanted to match that with some fiscal restructuring and fiscal reforms. We're starting to see kind of a path forward, and this is really surrounding a potential to include energy permitting reform in any final deal, a discussion about the unspent COVID-19 relief funds that had been appropriated from past legislation over the past 3 years that, you know, are still kind of sitting there waiting to be spent, implementing work requirements for some safety net programs. You know, I think it's important to recognize, though, that not everyone is going to be happy. We've certainly seen calls from the far ends of each party express their displeasure with where negotiations are and kind of what elements are on the table. But we're in a time of divided government and very slim margins in both houses of Congress. So it really does behoove lawmakers to recognize that this is the art of compromise, and this is how deal making is done. And, you know, we're not going to get everything that we want, but they're going to have to find a way that moves forward a package that satisfies the majority.
So why does this fight over the debt limit keep coming up again and again? And as the debt ceiling debate drags on, our guest explains the impact on our global reputation and why that matters here at home. Plus, we even talk about possible solutions. But first, a quick break for our sponsors. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment for yourself. For me, that's been especially true after becoming a parent. But even before that, I know what it's like to feel pulled in a million directions. And yet, I found that I'm actually more present and energized for those that I love when I do find a little more space for myself. Therapy has given me the tools to have more of that balance in my life. I know some of you are thinking, there's literally not enough time in the day. I get it. But often, it's not about finding more time. Therapy made me realize I was wasting precious energy on things I don't actually need to worry about or do, and equipped me with strategies I didn't even know I needed. If you're not sure where to start with therapy, BetterHelp is an option entirely online. It's designed to be convenient and flexible, so getting started is doable. Find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newsworthy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. And thanks to our other sponsor, ZocDoc. Have you ever gone down a Google or social media rabbit hole looking for answers about a health concern? I know I have. And most of the time, it's not all that helpful. Or I find a bunch of conflicting information and feel confused. or I realize there are a bunch of so-called experts who don't really have the credentials I can trust. So if you need answers from someone that is not random on the internet and want a trusted professional, ZocDoc is here to help. You can find a bunch of medical professionals that specialize in the care you need, and you can see their patient reviews right there on ZocDoc before you book. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun. No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. Go to ZocDoc.com/newsworthy and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/newsworthy. ZocDoc.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to my conversation with Rachel Snyderman. And so why does this debate come up over and over again?
The debt limit has been raised or suspended numerous times throughout history by Congresses and administrations of both parties. And it really is over the past 12 years that we have seen increasing brinkmanship surrounding the debt limit. And a lot of that is because we have a broken budget process. There really is no other time on the congressional calendar for policymakers to come together to talk about our larger looming fiscal battles. You know, our annual deficits are now averaging over $1 trillion. We have a federal deficit that is now $31.4 trillion, which has really skyrocketed over the past 10 years, again, as a result of legislation that's been passed by both parties. And now the bills have come due to pay for those. And so the debt limit is increasingly used as a leverage point to really force those conversations. You know, I think the irony is that in the past 10 years or so, it hasn't yielded any productive outcomes. It's really hard for a current Congress to put guardrails on a future Congress. And so I think that it really showcases not only the fact that, you know, we live in a time of divided government and political polarization, but I do think that there are avenues that both parties can come together.
What could reform look like?
There is an opportunity to tie the debt limit to the budget process to really incentivize Congress to each year pass a concurrent budget resolution that, you know, implements fiscally sustainable goals and includes a suspension of the debt limit through the fiscal year so that Congress can go about, you know, doing its business and getting a budget passed. So we really think that here there's an opportunity to improve the check and balance system about fiscal policy, but also to really take the risk of default off the table once and for all. We have seen time and time again over these debt limit episodes that real costs are incurred just to political brinkmanship. You know, we're seeing right now rates on short-term treasury securities, you know, reaching yields that we haven't seen since the early 2000s. And while, you know, some of that seems kind of complicated and like, what does that mean for the average taxpayer? What it's really showcasing is that it's becoming more expensive for the government to borrow. And when it's more expensive for the government to borrow, the folks who are responsible for paying those costs, that's taxpayers. That's what taxpayer money is going towards, just really servicing our debt. And so I think that, you know, we have seen that there are real costs associated with just brinkmanship alone, not only, you know, some of these fears and the what ifs and unknowns of default. And I think that it's really time for policymakers to realize that, look, these 11th hour negotiations and the uncertainty that is injected into the market, into average American lives, is just, it's really not worth it. We need to have a better way of doing this.
And you mentioned the kind of reputation of America on the global scale. Does this debate alone impact that?
It certainly does. You know, we saw, for example, in 2011, when Standard & Poor's downgraded the credit rating of the United States economy. That was a huge moment, especially because, you know, Standard & Poor's cited in particular the political brinkmanship surrounding, you know, the debt limit and also our looming, you know, fiscal outlook, that we do have entitlement programs that need reform or else they're facing insolvency, that we do have a broken budget process. You know, we saw even earlier this week how Fitch Ratings Agency has put our AAA standing on negative watch. And, you know, these are important because they signal to markets, you know, that there's uncertainty. You know, I'd also just add that the United States can access capital markets at really virtually no cost and no limit, other than, of course, you know, the debt limit that is imposed. And the U.S. in this case, you know, defaulting, why this would be different from the Greeces and the Venezuelas and the Argentinas of the world that have faced default in the past, you know, this would be the United States politically choosing to do so. This wouldn't be because we don't have access to capital markets, or, you know, the cost of capitals has increased to a rate that, you know, investors don't want to buy our debt. This would really be a purely political decision. And so I think that there's, like, it's so important to highlight that. It behooves policymakers to really find the avenue forward in a timely manner.
Well, thank you so much to Rachel Snyderman for joining us. For more of her insights, check out her published articles on the Bipartisan Policy Center's website. And we're continuing to watch the debt ceiling negotiations, and we'll keep you updated on what's happening in our regular episodes. We're off this Monday for Memorial Day, but we'll be back on Tuesday with our next 10-minute news roundup. So until then, have a great holiday weekend.